Welcome to Tori Macha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rena Forman, and today we will be studying Yecheskel, Perek Chaf Chet, Chapter 28. Our Perek is the third of a series of Perkim that describe Tzor. So far, we've learned about the beauty and glory of Tzor, as well as how low she sank. In the last Perek, Yecheskel used a metaphor of a sinking ship described in great detail to illustrate just how great the fall of Tzor was. And in our Perek, Yecheskel will be addressing the leader of Tzor, as well as Sidon, Tzor's sister city, the other Phoenician city she is generally associated with. Back in Perek Chafav, we discussed the relationship of Israel with Tzor over the years. We mentioned that Tzor was instrumental in the building of the Mikdash, and that Shlomo and David enjoyed friendly, even brotherly relations with Hiram, the king of Tzor. But the truth is, there were also darker aspects to our history with these Phoenician city-states. Look at what the Navi tells us about Shlomo and Tzor, the same King Shlomo who availed himself of the assistance of the king of Tzor in the building of the Mikdash. In Malachim Aleph, Parag Aleph, Pasuk Yod Aleph, we learn, Vahi le'it siknat Shlomo, nashav hi tu et levavo, acharei Elohim achirim. Toward the end of his life, the wise of Shlomo turned his heart away from God toward other gods. V'lo haya levavo shalem im Hashem elokav kilvav David aviv, and he was not wholehearted with Hashem, as his father David had been. V'yelech Shlomo acharei ashtoret, Elohei Tzidonim, v'acharei milkom shikutz amonim. And Shlomo pursued Ashtoret, the god of Tzidon, and Milkom, the god of Ammon. According to Chazal, Shlomo didn't personally worship these gods, but he did allow his wives to worship them. Those were the early steps of the pernicious influence of the particular Avodah Zarah from these Phoenician states. So things began to go awry even during the reign of Shlomo. But the precedent of allowing Phoenician influence into the land of Israel reaches a level that is difficult to reverse generations later during the time of King Ahav, who marries Izebel, daughter of Eshtabaal, the king of Tidon. In Melachim Aleph, in Perek Tet Zayin, we learn of Ahav's marriage to Izebel and how this facilitated the spread of Avodah Zarah throughout the land of Israel. Vayikach Isha et Izebel, bat et Baal, melach Tidonim. So Ahav took Izebel, this daughter of Eshtabaal, the king of Tzidon, as a wife. Vayelech vayavod et ha-Baal vayishtahu lo. And he went and he served Baal and bowed to it. Vayakam mizbeach la-Baal, and he built an altar for the Baal. Beit ha-Baal asher bana b'Shomron, in a temple to Baal that he built in Shomron. In almost no time, idol worship was rampant in the land of Israel. To describe how bad things got at this time, the Pasukim Malachim tells us, immediately before Ahav actually married Izebel, Vayhi hanakel lechto b'chatot Yeravam b'nevat. It felt like second nature for Ahav to worship Avodah Zarah, to follow in the treacherous ways of his predecessor, King Yeravam. That word hanakel is unusual. It appears there in Malachim to describe Ahav, and it actually appears one more time in Tanakh, in Sefer Yecheskel, back in Perek Chet, when the text describes the vision of the Avodah Zarah Toivot that Yecheskel sees on his virtual tour of Yerushalayim. Hanakel bi Yisrael me'asot et ha-toivot asher asupo? God had asked Yecheskel back then, do you see how natural it is for Israel, the house of Yehuda, to perform these abominations of Avodah Zarah? It sounds like Sefer Yecheskel, back in Perek Chet, was kind of playing off what Malachim told us about Ahav. Maybe the idea is the sins of Ahav, magnified by his Tzidoni wife Izebel, are what let the genie out of the bag. They made Avodah Zarah and Bama worship so rampant that it was difficult to go back. It eventually led to the state of affairs described by Yecheskel, the natural way in which the Avodah Zarah that God showed Yecheskel was worshipped in the Mikdash. So we see a bit of a through line. We have a righteous king, Shlomo, the actual builder of the Beit HaMikdash. But at the end of his life, the Navi tells us that he's influenced by the wives he married from his surrounding nations, wives specifically from Tzidon Tzor. And he allows them to worship Avodah Zarah and facilitates their doing so. That opening to these foreign cultures eventually leads to an explosion of Avodah Zarah in the nation during the times of Ahav and Izebel, the daughter of a Tzidoni king. leading to a state of affairs where Avodah Zarah was so firmly rooted, so second nature, that it was nearly impossible to uproot. In the times of Yechezkel, the nation will finally experience calamity because of all of this. So that's a bit of background on our nation's relationship to Tzor. Our perek will continue speaking of Tzor and Sidon, and begins with a kina offered for the leader of Tzor. Who exactly is that leader? It would seem that the leader of Tzor, referred to as both Nagid Tzor and Melech Tzor, is a descendant of the original King Hiram of Tzor, who, according to Sefer Melachim, partnered with Shlomo in building the Beit HaMikdash. The extreme disappointment God expresses with Tzor here in Yechezkel is in stark contrast to Hiram's incredibly great potential to help perpetuate God's name in the world and make him known to other nations. That potential is described in Divrei HaYamim, the second book of Chronicles, in Perek Bet Pasuk Yud Aleph, where the Navi recounts Hiram's involvement in building the Mikdash. In connection with that, the text there tells of Hiram's recognition of God as master of the universe. Vayomer Huram Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Asher Asah Et HaShamayim Ve'et HaAretz. And Hiram said, "Blessed is God, God of Israel, who made the heavens and earth." Asher Natan LeDavid HaMelech Ben Chacham Yodea Sechel Uvina, Asher Yivne Bayit LaHashem Uvayit LaMachuto, who gave to David HaMelech such a wise son who knows intelligence, understands, who has built a house for Hashem and a palace for his kingdom. Hiram was in a position to spread God's name to the nations, as described in Shlomo's prayer when the Mikdash was first erected. But, as we will see in our parak, his descendant fails to live up to this noble precedent. Right in the beginning of the parak, we learn, Ben Adam, Emoral and Nagid Tzor, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim, Ya'an Gava Libcha. Son of man, seek the leader of Tzor, so says Hashem, because you were arrogant. The ruler of Tzor, as Yechezkel portrays it, was guilty of Gava. He was arrogant, haughty. To understand why Gava is such a big deal specifically for Tzor, let's take a closer look at the Psukim. Let me read the Psukim describing God's accusations against Tzor. And as I do, listen for the imagery. You'll find it to be familiar. Be'eten gan Elokim hayita kol evan yekara mesuchatecha. You were in Eden, God's garden, with every precious stone covering you. Odem pitada ve'yalom tarshish shoham ve'yashba sapir novach uvareket v'zahav. Odem pitada yalom, generically jewels, tarshish shoham yashva. Sapphire, nofech, bareket, gold, melechet, tupayach, unekavayach, bach, biyom, hibara'ach, kunenu. Your drums and hold instruments were prepared for you on the day that you were created. Ponder those words, on the day you were created, biyom, hibara'ach. Where else have we heard about these precious stones and minerals? Did it by chance have anything to do with the creation of the world? It did. We heard about this all the way back in Eden, in Gan Eden, in the verses describing the rivers that came out of Eden. Pishon, hu hasovev et kol eretz ha-chalila, asher sham ha-zahav, uzahav ha-aretz ahi, tov, sham ha-budolach ve-even ha-shoam. Pishon, we're told back in Bereshit, encircles the land of Chavila, where there's gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is budolach and the shoam stones. Now let's continue in Yechezkel. Here's the next pasuk. Ak kruv, Mamshach HaSochich, you are a great protective kruv. A kruv, a cherub. Where have we heard about those angels back in Chumash? Here's Bereshi at the end of the story of Gan Eden. V'yishalchiyu Hashem Elokim b'Gan Eden la'avodet ha'adama asher lukach misham. God sent them from Gan Eden to work the ground from where he was taken. V'yigaresh et ha'adam v'yashkein b'kedem l'Gan Eden et ha'kruvim. And he sent Adam away, and Vayashkein, he placed the Kruvim along with a rotating flaming sword to guard the way to the Tree of Life. Okay, now let's go back to Sefer Yechezkel, and we'll hear more echoes of Gan Eden. Here's the next pasuk in Yechezkel talking about Tzor. B'toch avnei esh hitalachta, among stones of fire you walked. That particular word, hitalachtam, it also reminds us of Gan Eden. Remember after Adam and Chava ate from the tree? They hid. And then they heard the voice of Hashem walking through the garden, Kol Hashem Elokim mitalech betel Hagan. So the parallels in Yechezkel that linked Tzor back to Gan Eden seem perhaps undeniable. But what do we make of them? Well, on one level, the message seems to be that Tzor's land is similar to Eden topographically. Both are gorgeous, paradise-like places. Both are surrounded by water, and those waters are of great blessing to each land. But it turns out that all these descriptions we've been looking at of Tzor, they don't just remind us of Gan Eden. They also remind us of something else. Another place where many of these objects or ideas come up, and that is the Beit HaMikdash. Yes, the same stones listed to describe Tzor were found on the Kohen Gadol's Choshen, his breastplate. And it's not just the stones. Yechezkel speaks of Tzor as a Kruv. Besides Gan Eden, there's one more place in the Torah we hear of Kruvim, and it is in the Mishkan, above the Aron Kodesh. Gan Eden and the Mishkan, what's the common denominator between them? Each of these two Kruv environments are God's special place in the world. Gan Eden is Hashem's original special place. The Mikdash, a human-made recreation of that special place for Hashem in our world. And a link between them seems to be the Kruvim. Kruvim were set up to keep man away from Gan Eden. And now, those same Kruvim will invite man into the man-made Mishkan. Let me read to you that pasuk in Yechezkel again that describes Tzor as a kruv. Et kruv mamshach hasochech. Listen to that word hasochech. It's not an accident, it seems, that this very same word is used by the Torah to describe what the kruvim did back in the Mishkan on top of the Aron Kodesh. Sochechim bekanfehem ala kaporet. The kruvim's wings were arched over the cover of the ark, protectively covering the Aron. What do we make of all this? The description of Tzor reminds us of Gan Eden and the Mikdash. And topographically, Tzor is kind of Eden-like, a beautiful paradise-like place, surrounded and protected by water. But Tzor was more than that. It had the spiritual potential to partner with Shlomo in bringing a replacement of Gan Eden into the world, the Mikdash that Shlomo built. But Tzor desecrated this opportunity. Listen to this pasuk later in the parak, in pasuk Yudchet. Mirov avonayach ba'avel ruchaltech chilat mikdashayach. Because of your many sins, including the injustice with which you treated the merchants who came to you, your mikdash was desecrated. You might ask, since when does Tzor have a mikdash? Unless Yechezkel is highlighting this very connection for us, Tzor itself was sort of a mikdash. Hiram was not only a partner in building the Mikdash with King Shlomo, he was meant to partner with him in spreading awareness of Hashem and his ideals to the nations of the world. That was the purpose of the Mikdash, and the purpose of the entire world, in fact. But unfortunately, that utopian vision never materialized, and Yechezkel blames it on Tzor's arrogance. The leader of Tzor looked around at his Mikdash-like existence and thought, who lives in a Mikdash? A divine being. I must be God. As if in confirmation of that, look at the rest of Pasuk Bet in Yechezkel. V'tomer, elani, moshav elokim yashavti, believe yamim. And you, Tzor, you said, or the king of Tzor, you said, I am a god. I sat on the throne of gods in the heart of the sea. His arrogance led him to believe that he wasn't just partnering to bring recognition of God into the world. He wasn't just being rewarded with security in an Eden-like place. No, if he lived in an Eden-like Mikdash, it must mean he was himself a god. So Hashem responds to him, V'ata Adam v'lo El, v'titein lipcha k'lev Elokim. But you are a person, an Adam, not a god. Yet you made your heart to be like the heart of God. So for Tzor, Ga'ava is destructive because it creates illusions of ultimate power. The Navi continues, Hine chacham atam Daniel. Kol Satum lo amamucha. Are you wiser than Daniel, who was called a god by Nebuchadnezzar due to his knowledge of all hidden things? But he refused that title. Of course you are not, yet you take the title of God anyway. The psukim go on to detail the collapse of Tzor, and here too, we hear echoes of those very first stories of the creation, Briat HaOlam. Because the original Gan Eden, it too collapsed in a way. It collapsed into an expulsion. And eventually, the people who were expelled led humanity straight to the fate of Amabul, of the flood. Yechezkel continues, he says of Tzor, Tamim ata bidrachecha, miyom hi barcha, anim tza avlata bach. You were first tamim. You were first pure, innocent from the day of your birth until a sin was found in you. Tamim. Noach too, the survivor of that great flood, he was described this way as tamim in his ways. Tamim haya b'dorotav. He was pure within his generation. Tzor was a nation of ships, and Noach built the very first great floating lifeboat. Noach survived destruction on his boat, but it won't be that way for Tzor. Your ship will be destroyed. Why did the generation of the flood perish? According to Brishi, it was because of Hamas, violence. And as it turns out, Hamas will also be the undoing of your place, Tzor. Berov ruchotcha malu tochecha Hamas v'techetza. You took advantage of the merchants coming to you and cheated them. You acted with Hamas. And that was the last straw. As the psukim in our parak continue, Yechezkel is told to turn to Tzidon, Tzor's sister nation. V'amarta, ko amar Hashem Elokim, hineni alecha Tzidon, v'nechbadati b'tochech. Say to them, so says Hashem, I am coming against you, Tzidon, and I will be glorified through you. V'yadu ki ani Hashem, basoti b'shvatim, v'nikdashti ba. And they will know that I am Hashem when I punish them, and I will be made holy through them. V'shilakti ba. Dever v'dam v'chutzoteha, and I will send against them blood and plagues in their markets. V'niflal chalal b'tocha, b'cherev aleha misaviv yad'u ki ani Hashem, and bodies will fall on her when the sword comes against her, and they'll know that I am Hashem. This section ends with the refrain we've seen in reference to the previous nations we've discussed in the last few parakim, v'yad'u ki ani Hashem Elokim. These afflictions to Tzidon will spread the word that I am God. The parak ends with a more hopeful expression of how God's name will be made holy in the eyes of the nations. V'nikdashti bam le'nei hagoyim. That will be facilitated when? B'kabtzi et be'Yisrael min ha'amim asher nafal tuvam. When God gathers his nation of Israel from the nations where he had spread them to. V'yashvu al admatam asher natati l'avdi le'Yaakov. When they sit on their land securely. V'yashvu aleha levetach. Uvanuvatim v'natu kramim v'yashvu levetach, and they'll build houses and plant vineyards in the land. Basotishvatim b'chol hashatim otam misvivotam v'yadu ki ani Hashem Elokeihem. God says, when I mete out punishments against the surrounding nations that debase them, then they will know that I am God. The combination of the justice that God will mete out to those who've betrayed Israel, along with the renaissance of Israel's own national life, this together will ultimately make God's name known in the world. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilu Nishmat, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat, Alexander Sender.